everybody, and thanks for being with us this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. This is February 11th, 2025, and I have a guest today. You know him. This is Mo Abdelbaki, who's a Vedic astrologer, tarot master, and Renaissance man. He joins me almost always on the second Tuesday of the month. I always look forward to that because I can kind of pick his brain in all those categories, astrology and certainly, the tarot. So I'm always interested to see what he has to say. And I think this is a really good day for him to be on the show, too, because we have some things going on, including Mercury changing signs and moving into Pisces. And the sun is going to move into Pisces next week. And I really didn't want to get into that so much from my end on this particular show, but I thought it's perfect with Mo on the show today because he can kind of start introducing those ideas, at least from maybe the Vedic standpoint. We're not going to totally miss it when Mercury moves into Pisces on Friday and you go, hey, CA, didn't even talk about this yet. Of course, I will talk about it next week and we will talk about it a little bit today. But also, things are always so synchronistic, it feels like to me. And Mercury in Pisces is that kind of communication where it may not always be in words. In fact, it's not in words. With Pisces, I think so much of the communication is it's through feelings and sensations and visuals, things that you see or things that just seem to pop up. And so right before we're getting started, we're getting all the technical things worked out. And Mo says, I'm just not hearing very well. And I can't help but think, I'm not saying that everything has a purpose, but I felt like, maybe that's part of it. Mercury isn't in Pisces yet, but I told Mo, if you're not quite hearing exactly what I'm asking you, or if there's something not quite right, use your intuition and just talk about what seems like the appropriate thing, because undoubtedly it will be. So we are not going to talk so much about that, but we'll get into that a little bit before I get Mo on the show. But as way of announcements, tomorrow is not only a full moon in Leo, but it's also 12 day. That means we have discounts on calls and chats and time-based sessions. And if people are doing classes on 1-2 Academy, they may be putting them on sale just for the day. Now, where you find all those sales, of course, is on 1-2listen.com. Make sure you're on the mailing list if you always want to know what's coming up in terms of, what we're doing here on 1-2 Radio and on 1-2 Listen. But for those of you who like to kind of, check out all the special things that we do on 12th day, that is tomorrow. And I would also encourage you to remember with those time-based sessions, which many of the advisors offer, you'll get a special price if you buy them on 12th day. So you don't have to be available tomorrow, or, maybe you're saying, hey, that's not a good day for me. I don't want to do a session tomorrow. Buy a time-based session because then you get to use it whenever you want. You buy it and it automatically goes into your account and it stays there. And I'm going to say forever. Nothing is forever, but, I've got a couple of clients that they buy those routinely, but I'll tell you what, if they don't use them for a year, they're still there. So don't worry about losing that if you buy it and then, you're kind of saving it for a good time or something like that. But check into those time-based sessions if you're interested in having a session and tomorrow isn't the day to do it, then buy a time-based session while they're on sale. And as far as 12-day goes, I am booked up through the morning tomorrow, but I'll be available starting about 1 Pacific and into early evening. If you want to call me on 1-2listen.com, that would be good. And I do take a few breaks every now and then to take my little Tucker outside, but otherwise I should be available tomorrow afternoon for that. Or just even shoot me a quick email and let me know when would be good for you and we will arrange it. I do take scheduled calls if you want that. And I try to respond to those requests for signing on. If I'm not signed on and you say, hey, where are you? If I'm available, I'll sign on. So let's look just quickly at the cosmic dance. That's the astrology for the week of February 10th, which is the week that we're in. And to me, there's a couple of things that I want to highlight, but I always like to encourage you to go back and make sure that you are receiving Mark's Power Peak, because there's lots of good articles in there. It comes out weekly and it comes out electronically to your email. You can decide to open it or not open it, or if you want to delete it, then you delete it. So it's something that comes out weekly, but you can look in my particular column the week ahead. You can see exactly what's happening. When is the moon changing? What sign is the moon in for those 2.5 days? What, you know, when is Mercury going to move, or where are those planets and what are they doing? And I try to highlight things like, are there planets that are moving retrograde? Are there planets that are moving direct? And I do my best to interpret what that may mean for us. Because, of course, this is all reflective. None of these planets make us do anything, but they reflect our consciousness. So this week, there were a couple of things I wanted to highlight. One of them is that full moon on Wednesday. It's in Leo. And also that Mercury is changing signs and moving into Pisces on Friday. But, you know, when I look at the week ahead and I look at every day and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is the zeitgeist of this energy? The line that came to me is from a Shakespearean play. And it was, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. And that just seems so perfect. And as I kind of walked my way through the week and was looking at every single day and all the energy, that seemed to be an important message. And partially because, well, a lot because of that full moon that is in Leo tomorrow on Wednesday. And it's because, you know, we actually, even though we're not talking about Leo a lot at this time, because we've been talking about Aquarius and Pisces and, you know, some planets moving into Aries and that kind of thing. But Leo is important because of partially because of Pluto being in Aquarius. And Pluto in Aquarius is opposing Leo. And Leo is that part of our personality. It reflects that sense of where we want to be leaders. We want to be managers. We want to be in charge. We want to be self-expressive. Maybe we want to be performers. We want to be creative. We want to maybe influence other people. We want to take a role, and we want to be acknowledged for a role that we're playing. Well, I think Leo is important at this point. Not only because Pluto is sitting across from it and is going to continue to do that. But if you remember, we've had Mars retrograding from Leo back into Cancer. And then it is going to, when it finishes that retrograde on the 23rd of February, it's going to return to Leo. So I think we are in a cycle right now of really looking at our identity and our purpose and our intentions. So see, that's an underlying thing that's been going on for, let's say, at least 2 months, you know, with Mars. And so now we have the full moon in Leo that actually brings some of those ideas, some of those things maybe that we've been working through. It brings them to a head. And in fact, when I kind of remembered that line, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown, it's because we start this week, I open it up, and there's Mercury squaring Uranus. Well, Mercury is, and it's in Aquarius, by the way. So both the Sun and Mercury are in Aquarius, and both of them are squaring Uranus this week. The perfect square for Mercury was yesterday. The perfect square for the Sun is today. And with that full moon tomorrow, guess what? That very conflictual kind of squaring energy, something's got to give. Something's got to change. Something's got to happen. That gets imbued into the energy of this full moon. So, you know, I looked at it and I thought, that's it. It's not always that easy to just say, I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to perform. I'm going to do what I want. Or this is the identity that I'm going to put out there. It's not as simple as just saying, I want this. It's something that, in a sense, we grow into. So yesterday and today, I think there is, you know, I want to say conflictual energy, but what it has to do with Uranus is the planet that represents our ability to break through limitations. So see, with Mercury squaring and the Sun squaring, we're looking at our egos, we're looking at our opinions, but we're also saying, how far are we willing to take it? Where are we willing to, like, in fact, you know, to give up our friendships or to change the dynamics of our families for something that we believe or something that we want to do? How often do you just kind of live your life saying, I'm going to keep doing this because I want to please this person. I don't want this person to be upset. I don't want my family to be disappointed or whatever it is. So see, those are the things that we're thinking through. So even though I think this energy manifests as conflict, it's our opportunity to look and see how do we kind of do that juxtaposition of, I want to be an individual and I want to pursue my life. I want to pursue what's important to me while also being in relationship with other people. I mean, to me, that's almost like the meaning of life. That's what we're always doing. How do I be me, but in relationship with other people? So this full moon in Leo gives us a lot of opportunities to really look at ourselves and our plans and our desires, what is it that we really want to express and how do we do that? So it's actually very, very good energy. And, you know, I just think pay attention to what's going on for you, because that's mostly what I think is really important. It's not about judging it. It's not about making it good or bad. It's about just looking and saying, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about this when this person asked me to do something and I don't want to do it? Or, you know, just in general, some of those things. So we're going to, here again, go back to Mark's Power Peak if you want to read a little bit more about that. But it is exciting energy, but it has to do with, you know, kind of standing in your own power, but also understanding standing in your own power doesn't mean that you basically are alone or that you're just doing things for yourself. It means coming from that place within where you know that this is your purpose, this is your intention. You're coming from a place of strength and not from a place of fear or trying to avoid embarrassment or humiliation or whatever it is that, you know, you think it may be coming from other people. You're not just like a bouncing ball saying, going from approval to, you know, disapproval and people not liking you, you know, just kind of standing in that strength. So I'm going to touch upon just a little bit that Mercury in Pisces. And what I want to mention is, and we're not going to go into all the details, but this is interesting because Venus is kind of bouncing back and forth because she's going to go into a retrograde on March 1st. So she is going to leave Aries where she is, and she's going to go back into Pisces. Well, that's interesting from Mercury's standpoint because Mercury's entering Pisces on Valentine's Day on Friday, but And you know, he moves pretty quickly usually. So there again, in Western astrology and the Western system, he is going to go into Aries at the end of the month. But guess what? He's going to go into, and I shouldn't say he, but let's just say it, is going to go into a retrograde pattern in his cycle too, and go back into Pisces. So once again, that's one reason I'd love to pick, you know, Mo's brain about Pisces, because this is important. Mercury and Venus are both kind of doing this double take with Pisces because their retrogrades will take them back into Pisces. So that is something that we're going to talk about a little bit more in the future. But it's exciting time, I think, for the people that listen to this show and for people that are into all kinds of either psychic powers, intuition, spirituality, esoteric, you know, teachings and beliefs. Those people who believe there's more to the world than what you can see and taste and touch and hear, that it's not just all sensual. There's something else out there. And, you know, that's it. It's exciting for us because we're just moving into another way of viewing the world. And this is going to be exciting stuff. And I would remind you, too, that Edgar Cayce is probably one of the most iconic examples of people with Mercury in Pisces. But I also want to say, in all truth, he had a lot of Pisces in his chart because his Sun, his Venus, Saturn, and the North Node were all in Pisces. So it's not just Mercury. But see, there is another way of viewing the world. There's another way of interpreting the world. You know, there's just all kinds of ways. And I think Pisces Pisces is going to be an exciting, it's going to be an exciting period for us of creativity and of people really getting into their intuition and listening to things. So we'll talk a lot about that. But right now, let's get Mo on the show and pick his brain for whatever he wants to talk about. Hey, Mo, are you with me?
I'm with you. Yeah.
All right. Good morning. Do you want to talk about Pisces? You want to talk about Mercury? What would you like to talk about today?
Well, certainly we could talk about Pisces. It's a fascinating sign. It's the, you know, it's watery. It's turbulent. People sometimes view Pisces as being very serene. Do you? How do you view it?
Let's put it this way. No. And I would just say that because it's kind of like what you just said. It's all that stuff under the surface.
Right.
That stuff under the surface. And I think it's not that it's never serene, but there's a difficult energy with Pisces in terms of it always. I mean, the mermaid is the image that comes to me a lot when I think about Pisces, because it's the difficulty of trying to live between worlds. You know, there again, the spiritual world, the esoteric world, and then what just feels, you know, the material world. And I know, I mean, you know this, Mark is always saying to me, you read stuff into everything. And it's like, I do, but now how do I not do that? I am a Pisces, you know? But I do think it's difficult. I mean, many of us find a lot of challenge in whatever duality that we personally experience. And that's why I would say with Pisces, it certainly is far from being serene because of that duality. But also, if I'm trying to remember, you and I have had this conversation before about the ocean versus rivers versus something else in terms of Pisces and some of the other, the elements and the signs. So you want to review that and go through that a little bit?
Well, one of the things about Pisces is the myth associated with it. And the fact that here we have the two we've got Mercury and Venus, who are the two mythological planets that are associated with the Piscean myth right there, which are, Eros and Aphrodite, right there at the scene of the crime, so to speak. You know, the story of how they were taunting Typhon, the beast. Mm-hmm. And they were taunting him with eroticism. They were, you know, just making him crazy. And he was enraged with lust and drive, and they were just making him nuts. And they were
Don't
just
you
saying,
love
okay.
all this mythology?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's so primal and it's so wonderful in its scope of what it was about. I mean, here is this incredible beast. And I think it's you know, you could look right at it as the ego and the id and the concept of drive. And so here they are taunting this beast, this huge beast, Typhon. And that's one of the versions of the story. And, you know, we're talking about, in one version of the story, Aphrodite, who is, the goddess of love. And everyone who laid eyes upon her instantly fell in love with her because she was so gorgeous. And here's Eros, who is, he was throwing his zing in his arrows, I guess, as much as he could. And they're taunting and teasing. And they're on the edge of this island suddenly because he's chasing them. And they have no choice. What are they going to do? So they have to basically jump off the edge of this cliff, or he's going to tear them to pieces, literally, and do other really nasty things to them. Mm-hmm. And they tie themselves to each other very quickly. And I think the story is that Eros takes bow and ties themselves to each other. That's not English, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And they fall into the water, and instantly he turns them into fish. He turns themselves or whatever into fish, and that's the story of the two fish in Pisces. is that they're tied together as fish, and that's how they survive the fall into this horribly violent water that they fall into, because there are rocks and everything, and that's the only way they survive, is that fall and the rocks and the huge gnarly water and all that stuff. And those are the two fish, the south fish and the north fish. Mm-hmm. And it's a great story, and there's a lot there, because it's there's this watery part of the sky, and of course there's Cetus, who is the whale, and there's Andromeda, who is there, who is tied to the rock, and there's this wonderful part of the sky, which is this watery part, and then there, of course, there's Aquarius there, and but Pisces is this realm of, and it's a huge constellation, Pisces. It's gigantic. It's remarkable to see, and it's wonderful. And it's the realm of dreams. It's the realm of excess. It's ruled by Jupiter. So it's Jupiter in its, can be its most lackadaisical form. It's Jupiter in its, Jupiter's benevolent, but it can be Jupiter the, the peel me a grape Jupiter, the
yes.
excessive king, you know, the Jupiter, the harem king, so to speak, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh, it does. And by the way, I do want to mention that Mo does practice Vedic astrology for the most part. He's an expert at it. But in Vedic astrology, or what we call the older astrology, predating kind of Western, Jupiter is the ruler of Pisces, whereas mm-hmm. the modern ruler is Neptune. So when you hear him say that, and I mean, and that's always useful to know. I mean, just, you know, like with Scorpio looking at both Mars and Pluto, there are so many things to understand about Pisces by looking at the qualities or the very nature of Jupiter as the traditional ruler.
Right. Because the old version was set up before the discovery of Neptune. Mm-hmm. The planet, and you know, so on and so forth. So there was this concept. I mean, how did you explain a king who was just, and then at the same time, how did you explain a king who was a slovenly, or not slovenly? Well, yeah, there were those kings who were,
Well, go, like you said, go to excess. You know, everything has to be big and better and overconsumption and, you know, luxury to the max and, you know, to
and
almost
broke,
where it's debauchery.
The law and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Appointed people to ambassadorships who shouldn't
yes.
have them. And,
yes.
you know, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're going.
I'm not going there, but you know what I mean.
If the people won't vote somebody into office, they'll be appointed.
That's right. And so, yeah, exactly. So, and that's kind of an interesting. So that's the amazing aspect of the elasticity of the human mind, mm-hmm. is that, and that's what I love about astrology, is that it works so beautifully in that way. And right now, in the Vedic system, Rahu, the North Node, is in Pisces, as it is in the Western system. Mm-hmm. And that is the epitome of the paradigm of what's happening right now in the world. It's oligarchies, and they're all over the world right now. You know, the mm-hmm. concept of wealthy people running the world.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we see right now, are very, very strong governments being run by wealth. And that's exactly what Rahu is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it moves backwards. It moves backwards. Rahu and Ketu, the North and South nodes, are points in the sky of the moon's passage from the north to the south, and they're mathematical, but they move backwards in the sky, and it takes about 18 months or so for them to make a move, and then they move eventually into Aquarius, and hopefully we'll see some change of consciousness But anyway, so.
Well, and you're right. I mean, those nodes just moved into Pisces and Virgo, right? I don't remember the exact day, but they just moved recently. Yeah, and then, like you said, it'll be an 18-month period, yes.
About.
Yes.
And in the Vedic system, Saturn is still in Aquarius, which, you know, is supposed to be a good thing. And it's going to change not so long from now into Pisces. It'll be in the house of Jupiter, and hopefully that will bring some stability there. We'll see. I'm not so sure. But anyway, so the point is that the story then is that they survived only because of their connection and their ability to connect, and that's the myth. So Pisces is this place of it can be tempestuous. Riptide is a Piscean concept. Mm-hmm. The riptide, where you think everything is fine, you know, and you swim
until
and
you
go
get
out
pulled under.
That's right. And of course, the key to surviving a riptide is to swim parallel to shore.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that, you know, you can't fight the riptide. And that's, to me, is a very Piscean concept, is that you can't fight certain things in a Piscean time. You have to kind of fight. You have to be parallel to the shore. So in other words, you may think you understand what's going on, but you don't. You have to kind of work along with them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And what's there again, just that duality of living in a material world with, but knowing that you're a spiritual being. And so knowing what's going on underneath the surface and not believing that just the surface and what you see and you know, with all your senses, what your mind is telling you is not necessarily the truth. It's not the whole truth.
Right.
There's stuff going on underneath the surface.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, there are things that happen in the world that are so remarkable and confusing. And, you know, the Piscean, Mercury in Pisces is definitely, to me, a paradigm of receiving messages from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From the subconscious, from the other realms. And I do believe in such things for sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost a dear friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. I let
yes.
you know that. And this is a friend of mine I met on the first day of high school, which was a long, long time ago. And it's been really, really hard for me. Really hard. And so last week, we didn't find out about it until Saturday night. And that's when his family found out about it. But he died early last week. I was the first last person to talk to him.
Mm.
And that was last Monday. So sometime last week, there's a song. I think it's called Messages from Heaven. It's a Ry Cooder song from an album in the 70s. And that song kept going through my head. And I think it was probably Wednesday. And by that time, my friend was dead. And it kept going through my head. And I thought to myself, I don't like this song going through my head. But I thought, is it an omen of something? I don't like it. I don't want it going through my head. It's a nice song. And it's on an album of mine. And I thought, I'm going to listen to it. And then I thought, no, you know, I don't want to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it had an omen-like feeling to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was brushing my teeth, as a matter of fact, getting ready for bed, and it kept going through my head. And I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't want it. It had that same feeling that I've had before when something unfortunate has happened, and I just didn't want it. And it just occurred to me this morning that, oh, that was telling me about Bill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I was driving to the grocery store, and I was talking to him, because I do that. And the radio, which was not on, started crackling, and it has never done that before. Like, turn on the radio, you idiot. I want to talk to you through music, and I refuse to do it, because I'm not ready yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very typical of what I would consider Mercury in Pisces to be.
Yes. Yes, you know? It is.
And now I just said, nope, I am not ready yet. I can't deal with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good indicator. I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to be sorry for having feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, you know, for a variety of reasons, but one of them is just that Mercury in Pisces. And, yeah. You know, I think we all have these different ideas maybe about where these voices come from or how they come or whatever. Like some people go, oh, no, that never happens. But the truth is we all have an inner voice. And when we tune that radio station in, you know, when we can listen to that inner voice, then we can pick up the waves from almost anywhere, you know, those radio waves. And so to me, you know, and it is that kind of thing, like every once in a while, not every once in a while, it happens quite a bit. I mean, that's it. It's like, I have a hunch, let's go outside. In fact, last night, I mean, I go outside a lot with my dog. But anyway, he had eaten and I said, hey, do you want to go and sit in the yard for a while? So we head out the door. And there is just this really odd light streaming across the sky. Whoa. And at first I thought about taking a picture of it. And then I go, no, you know, just watch it. Because sometimes I miss things because I'm so busy trying to take a picture. Yeah. Well, then, of course, my phone just starts lighting up. Because people all over the area go, what the, you know, is that in the sky? I mean, what the heck is that? Because it was something moving very quickly, fairly low on the horizon, but with this incredible stream of light behind it. And of course, I'm looking at the moon going, is that just the moon lighting something up in a really weird way? You know, the sun isn't quite down. So is it the sun kind of reflecting light? Well, somebody just this morning sent me something and I didn't read it. It really was some kind of a launch or a rocket or something. I don't know. But I couldn't believe how many, my phone is just lighting up with texts of people who live relatively close going, what is that in the sky? What was that? You know, that just went across there. And in fact, Mo, maybe I'll text you the picture because one of my friends got it and it's really phenomenal.
Cool.
It is. It's just like really phenomenal. But it is funny because here again, Mercury in Pisces, the friend who takes the video, she sets the video to this very almost otherworldly music.
Wow.
You know, she didn't just send the video out. She put music to it. And in fact, you know, and other people are going, where did she get that music? Why is that music playing in the background? And I thought, because she thinks it's aliens.
Yeah.
She, you know, she is automatically interpreting. I mean, I think some people are like, okay, did somebody shoot a rocket at us? You know, is this something to be afraid of? Is this something crashing? I mean, so all the interpretations, of course, were all over the place. But like I said, this friend who happened to get the video, she put it to music. And it really, it's very interesting watching it. So I'll send it to you.
Cool.
But in any case, that happened last night. But I thought it really, you had to have been, I watched it for about 20 seconds, but it was moving quickly. I mean, it was moving quickly, you know, so it was some kind of a rocket or something coming back down to Earth. I don't know what. And I'll figure that out and I'll text you that too. Because like I said, everybody this morning is talking about it here in Las Vegas. But it's just that idea that if I had gone out 10, 15 seconds later, I'm not sure I would have even seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd probably be going, what are you guys talking about? I don't see anything in the sky. But, you know, and another thing that happened this week that I just had to laugh because I thought it was so funny. I was, you know, trying to get quotes together for the Power Peak, the article that I write in the Power Peak. Oh, yeah. And I try to pull somebody who has something to do with the astrology of the day. But Immanuel Kant, the German philosopher, comes into my mind. And I will admit, I'm going, what are you even thinking about him for? I mean, it seemed odd. But when something like that happens, I go, look him up. You just have to do this. Well, I look at his chart. He doesn't particularly have any of the things that are going on this week other than one thing. And that is that he has a Virgo moon. And we have a Virgo moon, like I think starting on Wednesday night through sometime on, you know, Valentine's Day. It goes through Valentine's Day. So I thought, okay, that's good enough. I'm gonna put a quote of his in the Power Peak. But I remember at the time there was something that was just saying, this seems kind of odd to me. This isn't just like that perfect match of why all of a sudden you're pulling in this German philosopher. So then I'm with a client on the phone a couple days later, and all of a sudden he starts talking about Immanuel Kant. Now, here's the thing. He hadn't read the article. The article wasn't out yet in the Power Peak. And so I said, wait. I said, did you just say Immanuel Kant? And he goes, yes. it was all I could do to not just burst out laughing. Mm-hmm. That he's talking about Immanuel Kant. Now, when was the last time, maybe for you, but when was the last time in a session somebody's talking about Immanuel Kant or in any conversation?
It's been a while, I'll say.
It's been a long while. at least with the people I hang out with, that is not exactly what you're going to hear. Somebody all of a sudden talking about Immanuel Kant. So I did go immediately to, okay, Mercury is going to move into Pisces. And, it doesn't mean that we listen or that we act on every single hunch or everything that happens, but just recognizing that we're really phenomenal creatures in terms of having all of these other senses or having all these other voices or ways of understanding the world and following them. And it's not so much of saying, okay, this has got to be perfect, or I've got to, do I make a left turn? Do I make a right turn? But just understanding that you have a voice within you that will offer you lots of good information or alternatives for understanding life or understanding what's going on. So just like everybody looking at that rocket in the sky, is this positive? Is it negative? Should I be worried? Because there was a thought in my mind, should I get Tucker and get inside? Yeah. Is this thing crashing? And, you just don't know, but there's all kinds of alternatives. Is it the aliens coming?
Isn't that funny how the mind goes through all these different thoughts, but what happens is your intuition says, it's okay to watch it. Just remember the name of the song.
There will be an explanation. The song
was Tears from Heaven.
Oh, Tears from Heaven.
Yeah. God, Immanuel Kant.
and now somebody will mention him to you.
Yeah.
Everybody listening to the show and those of you in the chat room, be prepared. Somebody's going to mention Immanuel Kant or maybe some other philosopher. I don't know.
I'm a fan of Friedrich Nietzsche. So that
me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, he was nuts, but I love the ones who go mad eventually.
Yes. But, even you're saying that, that is part of the Piscean thing, too, because once again, it's like I remember reading one time and I've even got a button. It says just visiting this planet because that's Pisces. It's like, I'm trying to stick with you here in this conversation, but my mind is going everywhere kind of thing. Or the people that are so attuned to a lot of spiritual or esoteric information, how often are they labeled as crazy or nuts? Think about it,
Well, I think it was Nietzsche who said that those who don't hear the music are branded, and, let's see, how did he put it? Those who don't hear the music consider the dancers to be insane.
Yes. Oh, that's great. I think I've heard that or something similar.
Yeah. You can look it up. It's a famous quote of his.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty right on.
Yes.
There's this point where you realize that we are all, my friend was very real world, mm-hmm. He understood finance. He called me up one day and said, he sent me a text and he said, it says something to the effect of, have you checked on your cola lately? And I said, I'm still a Diet Coke man, because that was what I thought he was talking about. He was talking about your cost of living advance.
Oh,
And I'm like, and he said, So we talked to each other, and I said, how is it that you just don't get into money and finance and stuff like that? I said, because none of it matters to me. Either I'm living in a house or I'm living on the streets, but either way, I'm living, you know. I just don't, none of that has ever meant anything to me. I'm not of that world. And I know that sounds ridiculous to most people, but it's never made any sense to me, ever, ever. You know, and I know that sounds crazy to people, but I've never been able to make anything out of it. I've tried. I've tried. Just when I'm doing astrology,
you're even
I can
a Taurus.
Do that. I'm a Taurus. I can balance a checkbook if I really put my mind to it. Thank God I don't have to do that sort of thing anymore. But because, you know, there's electronics. But I don't know. I've never been that person. It's just never meant. I mean, I could give it all up and, you know, if I had to live in a box, I could live in a box. Sounds terrible, but I would be cold and miserable. But I've been cold and miserable before. I've been on the, I'm not going to talk about it. But, you know, I love material things. I'm surrounded by them. Most of them very cheap. But, you know, it's about tools. You have the tools you need to do what you need to do. But he was always amazed by that in me, you know, that I just couldn't grasp those things. He was very, you know, but we were great friends. And that's the great aspect of life, is that that's what makes people people, is that you don't have to be alike to be,
yes,
you know. And I think that's kind of a Piscean trait too. It's a double sign. It's a double sign. And you're tied together by something. But you see, that's the beauty of the astrological sign too, the constellation. The two fish are really far apart in the sky, but they're connected. And I love that imagery, that you don't have to be alike to be connected. And I think that's very important.
Well, and especially alike on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what it strikes me as it, is we're alike or we're similar or we're connected where it really counts.
Yeah.
Not on something that changes and is ephemeral and is going away, so to speak.
We're in the same water.
Yes. Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. We breathe the same, you know, we have gills and the gills process the same thing, microplastics, you know. But anyway.
Oh my God. I try not to go there very often because it makes me like, you know, don't even want to take a drink of water.
Yeah. Yeah. And people change. People change over the years and things happen and relationships change. But and even though you may get farther and farther apart, you're still connected. And I think that's an important aspect of love. Let me say this. My brother-in-law said something to me last night that was that blew me away. He really has gotten to know me pretty well. But he said something that I think is very true. And I think it's true of a lot of us. A lot of us who believe in love and believe in the paradigm of maybe the 60s, you know, that whole movement. He said he had never met anyone who was as capable of forgiveness as me. And I've thought about that. He said, you know, people hurt you, people... He was talking about me personally. They slight you. They do this and that. He said, but you always come back and you just seem to forgive. You just forgive and forgive and forgive. And he said, I've never met anyone like you. And I thought that's not true. There are a lot of people like me, a lot of people like us. And I was very flattered. And I think that's common of people like us. And because God bless him, my friend said things, you know, that were hurtful, but he was hurting too inside as life went on. And but you see where people are, and you know what they do, and you know that they say things sometimes that are hurt. They're hurting inside, and but you love them, right?
Right. Hey, by the way, in the chat room over on Facebook, everybody, thank you for being there today. But Quelly posted two purple hearts connected, beating hearts, and just said blessings. And Leslie also said, so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
So I wanted to let you know, though. And but everybody over there, Renee and so everybody, sweet. Thank you for being in there today.
Yeah. Thank for you. Joining he us was a brother day. To me. We knew each other 55 years. You know,
yeah.
And I actually always thought he'd be the one to be comforting my wife when I went, you know, because he was in theoretically in better shape than I was. But it's a strange thing, life, and I love it so much. And I think that when you stop loving life, that's a dangerous thing, you see. And I love life. And I also realize that it's the love. And I think Piscean energy is love, you know. Mm-hmm. Aquarius is love. I think Pisces, to me, because you had the two major love gods falling into that water.
Mm-hmm.
And roiling and, you know, they survived. And they survived by tying themselves together and they were having fun. I mean, true, they were being very bad, you know, taunting this beast. But they survived, and they made it. And I have a feeling that there's the message there is that the subconscious is filled with love and lust and desire, and that it's all connected, you know. That our passions are within us and that they are connected indeed, but that we have to have them.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to honor them as well, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something in there.
Yeah.
I don't think that we can ignore what we are or who we are, and that we have to forgive ourselves as well.
Yes.
I think that's important. And that Mercury within there, because right now Venus in the Vedic system is also within there. I know that it's in Aries right now, right?
Yeah, in the Western system.
Mm-hmm. In the Western system. You said it's going to go retrograde, right?
Mm-hmm. On March 1st, yep.
So they're going to meet up again, and they'll be together in Pisces, which is, once again, that paradigm. What a perfect time to investigate the concept of the connection, that connection of, well, what would you say?
Well, you know, partially I want to say the connection with yourself.
Yeah, there you are.
You know, and because in fact, where my mind is going a little bit, and we really haven't talked about it, is Valentine's Day is Friday, which is the day that Mercury goes into Pisces. And yet, to me, as an astrologer, I automatically know, but the moon is in Virgo that day. And Virgo, definitely a very loving, you know, partner. I mean, but she's the one sign I always think of, very idealistic and also very, I'm self-determined. This is, you know, I can do it on my own. I need my own space. I need to love myself before I'm really free to love anybody else. So I think, you know, it's an interesting dynamic on Valentine's Day that here's a Virgo moon that, you know, if nothing else, it says, who are you tied to? Who are you attracted to, but who are you tied to? And whose are the voices that you're listening to? Because if you're not listening to yourself, if you're not honoring yourself, forgiving yourself, loving yourself, finding those things about yourself that are really valuable, how do you ever have any valuable relationships?
Yeah.
You know, so Valentine's Day, I mean, and, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of beyond that old, you know, being in high school, oh my God, I didn't get a Valentine, you know, or whatever it is. Or even in, I think about it in grade school, how kids hand out Valentines and sometimes they withhold a few, you know, from certain kids or something. But you know what? And I think most of us are kind of beyond that. And I know that it sounds just very trite, but you know what? It really is about saying, I'm self-determined. And I make Valentine's Day. You know, I am the love of my life. And I want to share my heart with you, or I want to share things with you. But here again, all this conversation that we've had, thinking about who do we tie ourselves to and why? And or can we ever break all those connections? Like you said, we're all swimming in the same ocean.
Right.
We're all in the same water.
That's right.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I know that we need to close the show, but there are a couple things I want to say. You know, not only thank you so much to Mo, but thanks to everybody for joining us and to Serena, who is our producer. But I also want to end with a couple of quotes from Immanuel Kant. the first one, and because, you know, he also, by the way, had Sun conjunct Mercury, which means this is a person who they are their thoughts. Thoughts are very important to them. Now, his were in Taurus, by the way. He's a Taurus, but with that moon in Virgo. And he said, live your life as though your every act were to become a universal law. And I love that. You know, it's like, it's consequences. And do you live your life as though this is, you know, and he had actually lots of quotes basically saying anything that you do, would you assume that that should be a universal law? Should that be something that everybody should aspire to? But he also said, seek not the favor of the multitude. Now, that is very Moon in Virgo. Seek not the favor of the multitude. It is seldom got by honest and lawful means, but seek the testimony of few and number not the voices, but weigh them. And, you know, I kind of think about that with your friend. That was a voice that you weighed as very valuable, you know, gold. This was a voice of gold. So it's not the number, you know, it's their weight. So those are some of the things that I would end the show with. I would also, I'm going to give you a chance too, Mo, but I also want to remind people that I want them to stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone, which is coming up next, because I'm going to join her. It's our monthly meeting of the minds. So don't go anywhere. I mean, get a cup of coffee or something, but please come right back. And Mo, what are your parting thoughts for the day?
The one Kant quote that I remember is, to be is to do. And that's the one I remember from college. So is that just to be is to do. So no matter what we think we're doing, just being alive is an action. It is an act. And I like that because it means that we...
And not without consequences.
You know? No, everything we do is a consequence. My whole thrust the last few weeks, the last few months is... invest in yourself.
I love that.
Yeah, invest in yourself. Forget about what's going on in the outer world. I'm trying, but it's hard to do, you know, when we watch, you know, the news and so on and so forth. But invest in yourself. Find something that is important to you and do it and enjoy it. And I'm having a good time doing that. And do and be. And remember, this is a magnificent ride we're on. It's an e-ticket at Disneyland back in the 60s.
It is. And it's funny you mentioned that. Somebody just said that to me this week. He goes, do you remember the old e-tickets at Disney World? And I go, yeah.
Yeah, this is an e-ticket ride. This is an e-ticket. It really is. Yeah.
And guys, there's so much synchronicity out there. So Mo, thank you for being on the show today. Thanks for being so vulnerable and sharing what's going on in your life. Those were really thought-provoking messages. So thank you. And you know, our thoughts are with you at this time.
Thanks a lot. And I love you all very much. Very much. It's true. Yep.
Yep, that's right. We're all
I'll
in
be on tomorrow, guys. 4 o'clock, yep. 3 o'clock Pacific.
Okay, yeah. Listen to Mo's radio show here on 1-2 Radio. This is CA signing out for just a few minutes. I'll be right back. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest Mo Abdelbaki on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that we listen to Pisces.